Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Let's Talk Cobra Kai. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back for another episode.
Yeah, and very excited that we have a higher rating on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Higher than last time, because last rating was a little disappointing.
It was weak. Not the episode, the rating.
Yes.
But this episode was pretty strong, I gotta say. Usually these midpoints, this is episode 5 of season 5, yep. Extreme Measures. But before we get into it, Sal, I want to give a shout out. Last episode, you'll recall, it was kind of a call to action for our fans to leave some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast, and they have spoken. And we have 7 new 5-star reviews, and I thank you so very much. I'd rattle off the names, go through them, but we're going to save that for our next fan appreciation episode.
Wow, yes.
Post-season of season 5 of Cobra Kai. And I want to say one of the 7, though, which is really touching to me, was the person that left the 1-star. So kudos for coming back around. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
And I understand their point, but hurting the show is no one wants to do that. And I just commend everybody for stepping up. And the more we get, this the better it helps the show stand out in the blue ocean, the sea of podcasts. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. I mean, I guess I'm a little jaded in life that when you ask for something and people actually do it and then do it as a group.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow. It's very touching. So thank you, everybody, who was able to do that recently. 5-star review for us. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And also good news. This is good news. As you know, Doggone launched last Friday. So it is live, and I'm just happy that it's out there. It's very touching to my heart. The first episode is out there. Talks about myself and Nico. It's more about Nico. It's just my story of him, my dog, who I lost this year. And it's going to be the episode that I can use to bring other guests on. So it's out there now live. You guys can go check it out on any platform, Doggone, or just go to justcuriousmedia.com, and it's on there with all the other podcasts and episodes. So, and you're on there, Sal. So kudos to you for joining me. And that one is now out in the podcast universe.
Thank you for having me, Jason. And a very special, I mean, not that all of our shows aren't special, but I mean, this one's is different.
It's different.
It's different in spirit and nature from Just Curious Media's other shows.
It is. I noticed that when we prepared for it, when we recorded it, and when I edited the episode, I was like, whoa, this is a whole other thing. And it was very emotional for me to edit that episode. So it's out there, and it was just a big hurdle. You know, if you will, it took a lot, but I'm very, very proud. So just wanted to share that with our fans.
Well, I'm very excited about it and very excited to hear upcoming episodes because you got your work cut out for you, Jason. This is a very, I would say, almost like you have to handle it with kid gloves in a way because it's a very sensitive topic.
Yeah.
So believe me, I look forward to seeing and hearing what Doggone has to offer.
Thank you. Yes, we have to flex different muscles being a podcaster, and that definitely makes me do that. So let's jump in from a word from our sponsor. Support for Let's Talk Cobra Kai is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and with this exclusive offer, you'll get
20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code COBRAKAI at manscaped.com.
Perfect. And with the holidays coming up, it might be time to cash in on this code.
Yeah, and you know what? There's all kinds of Manscaped ads all over the place.
All over.
Everywhere.
Every podcast has one, but use ours.
And Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time, and there's all kinds of commercials on there. I think that, what's his name? Who's the guy that dated the Kardashians?
Which one?
Right? From which Kardashian and which guy?
Yeah.
From SNL, the SNL guy.
Oh, Pete?
Davidson? Pete. Yeah. Pete Davidson is doing Manscaped commercials now.
Well, there you go.
Very fun to see, and you know, kind of honored to be.
We're in good company.
Yeah. We're up there, man. We're up there.
So Netflix brings us Cobra Kai. Thank you, Netflix. Every episode in the season came out on September 9th, 2022. This is season 5, episode 5, Extreme Measures. Sounds like a movie in the 90s, like a Seagal movie.
Yeah, or a Jeff Speakman.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Was he the Perfect Weapon? Is that who that was?
He was the Perfect Weapon, yeah. And I was an extra in Perfect Weapon.
Oh, there you go. And the rating for this particular episode, you hinted at, 8.7 on IMDb.
Nice.
Strong.
Yes, thank you.
Well-deserved. Kind of deserves a 9s, but listen, that's a whole other thing. The synopsis for this episode is Daniel leans on a friend and frenemy. Tensions come to a head for Miguel and Robbie. A familiar face returns. Ooh, I can't wait to get into it, Sal.
These synopsi are almost like a fortune cookie, right? It's like
totally.
They just give you just enough, but not much.
Just a little bit. So I am ready to jump into the scene-by-scene breakdown if you're ready.
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
So we open at Cobra Kai, and Tori is possessed, and she is hitting on one of these modern padded dummy, not the wooden dummy back in the day. And she's hitting it hard, Sal. But then, out of nowhere, a favorite character arrives.
Yeah. In walks Stingray in the middle of class.
Unreal.
Some people are taken aback and kind of looking over at him, right?
Yeah.
I think, I would imagine that there were plenty of people in that class who didn't know who.
Oh, exactly. Well, there's so many new people now.
Yeah,
with this
all
growth.
Kinds of new faces in there. Yeah. So then he walks in. Silver announces him. Mm-hmm. There he is, the man himself. An exemplar of everything Cobra Kai stands for. Loyalty, discipline, inner strength. After former Sensei Kreese's cowardly attack, most people would have crawled into a hole to hide. Not Stingray. He stood tall, demanded justice. That's Cobra Kai. So let's give him the welcome he deserves. Applause!
Woo! Yeah, Stingray is back. And he looks like a shell of his former self, I have to say. You know, what
he's
went through.
He's been demoralized.
Demoralized. Right? He loved something. He was beaten. Now he's on the hook with Silver. And he's still dealing with that. I can't even imagine what that was like, being in a coma or whatever he was in for a while. But all that said, happy to see him back.
Yeah. Oh.
Love Stingray.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
So Silver and Stingray talk. And Silver, we learn, got him an apartment.
Yeah, a nice place.
And what else did he get him?
He got him the Cobra Kai car that Johnny Lawrence used to drive, the 2009 Dodge Challenger.
The back in black. Back in black. Remember that episode?
Yes, the yellow and black.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, when they were painting it. That's right. Yeah, beautiful car. Very fun. Any fan would love to drive this car.
Yeah. So we know Silver is funding Stingray's lifestyle now, because Stingray was living with his sister at one point in time.
That's right, yes.
And after he took the beating, now comes the rewards for taking said beating and putting Kreese away.
Well, what do you call it? You call it hush money, right?
Hush money. There you go.
Hush money. I'm going to take care of you. You just shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Right? Don't let the law in on this.
Yeah. Plus, you took a beating. So there's that.
Well, you know, like we mentioned going into this, I mean, Silver literally almost killed.
Almost.
Because Stingray was in a coma, the implication is he almost died. Mm-hmm. Silver almost killed Stingray. Terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're at Olive Garden in Chatsworth, no less.
I like how the Ralph Macchio name appears right at that very moment.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's like a combo Italiano moment.
And Miguel and Robbie arrive separately, I should say, separately. And they're tricked by Johnny. Like, oh, you're here. You know, Johnny's trying to force this friendship, or at least peace. And so no one's happy. But the waiter is fantastic.
Yeah, he
does. I got to say, he's killing it.
Yeah, he does a great job. I would have loved to have auditioned for
that waiter. You could have been this waiter. You also would
have
killed it.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, he's rattling off things, because, you know, he's not missing a beat. He's reading the room, though, and like, let me give you a second. But he mentions chocolate lasagna, Now, I guess I have not been to an Olive Garden in about 15 years, so I didn't know they had chocolate lasagna. Are you familiar with this?
I myself haven't been to an Olive Garden in about, 20, 25 years. Because let me tell you this, Jason. We used to go to Olive Garden as sort of in anticipation of an upcoming marathon. When I used to run marathons in my 20s,
our half
we would do a carbo load
at
Olive Garden the night before a marathon.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. So we're going back.
So you don't run marathons anymore.
Well, I would like to. Yeah, and I'd like to eat at Olive Garden again.
I would
like to eat at Olive Garden. I would like to run a marathon just to eat at Olive Garden.
There you go. That's the reason. Yeah, that's the catalyst. Well, despite the great waiter and Johnny's efforts, Miguel and Robbie leave. They don't even stick around for any of it. They're not even having it at all. So
they don't care about the breadsticks.
Fail for Johnny.
I would have at least had a few breadsticks.
Yeah, pretty damn good breadsticks. I do recall. I had a sister who worked at Olive Garden, but we're going back a long ways. So now we're at LaRusso's house, and Daniel is unshaven, which we saw in the first look photos because you commented on that. Like, when do you ever see Daniel unshaven? Well, he's unshaven. He's drinking. He's just distraught, Sal.
Jason, I don't know if you've ever stumbled upon a married man whose wife is out of town for whatever reason.
Right.
And you get to see how, I swear to you, men alone are different than men around women.
Yeah, married men for X amount of time are different. You're right. Because couples just get closer and closer and closer. And then it's like, and she's not just out of town on a business trip. She's mad at him. And that's like game changer. He's struggling.
They're almost unofficially separated. Unofficially. Right, she took the kids and left. I mean, what is that?
She's just taking a beat. But Chosen remains positive about Amanda and the family, and thank goodness Chosen's here. But while he's trying to cheer Daniel up, he discovers what?
There's a newspaper clipping that has a courtroom sketch of Kreese, and then a courtroom sketch of Stingray.
A Stingray,
But then somebody had written liar.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, stuck it in their mailbox?
Stuck it in their mailbox. So it says, local sensei found guilty, and it's written by Nikki Blassi, B-L-A-S-I, 2 years prison sentence. We learned 2 years for this. Raymond Porter, Stingray's last name. Now we know the whole name. Judge Harold T. Stone. So I kind of zoomed into the article, and it was a real article, not like the Karate Kid Part 3 where they just kind of phoned it in, they borrowed an article. Cobra Kai gets it right. So that was the judge's name. It says liar, and then there's an address, Sal. Do you want to say the address?
Sure. The address is 808 Prospect Street. Now, Jason, it doesn't specify Hermosa Beach, but you declare Hermosa Beach?
I looked it up, and the only thing that came up in Los Angeles area was Hermosa Beach, California, 90254. So, I don't think that's where they meant. Maybe they did mean that, but the place that shows up on Google Maps is not Raymond's house because they probably shot it in Atlanta. But for whatever reason, that's what pops up when you type that in.
Well, Jason, I'll have you know my eldest brother, the oldest siblings of all my siblings.
The firefighter?
Currently, the firefighter.
Nailed
newly
it.
Newly retired.
Oh, wow.
Lives in Hermosa Beach. So lives near this address.
He's got the tats.
He does. Plenty of tats.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for your service, older Rodriguez. that's where they're setting this. We don't know, but we know that Silver's flipping the bill. So now we're in a rammed-in neighborhood. Sal, no palm trees. Of course, it could still be cheated for California being in Georgia. But we soon learn we're at Amanda's parents' house. And Sal, we meet Amanda's mother, Joanne, played by
Rochelle Carson Begley, Ed Begley's wife.
There you go. I see that and I'm like, hang on a second. Ed Begley Jr.'s wife, the actor in so many movies, whom I've met twice and talked to in LA.
Wait a second. He's been to your film festival.
No, he has not been to my film festival.
I thought he was there.
But we were at another film festival for my first film, Strictly Background. Terry Polo. No, Bolo is the other actress from Meet the Fockers. Terry Bolo is in my documentary, and she has great stories. She used to be in the Groundlings, and she, you know, you've met Terry. You know her well.
Sure.
She used to date Bill Murray. She also went on dates with Robin Williams. She introduced them together. They didn't know each other. She's got some stories, man, because she grew up in Hollywood and doing the whole thing, and she was an actress in lots of movies, and she looked super young, so they kept casting her. So anyway, we went to this festival, San Fernando Valley, Strictly Background's first festival. We won Best Documentary. But they had this huge banquet. And she's like, oh, you want to meet, you know, Fred Willard? You want to meet Ed Begley Jr.? And she's just bringing these guys over. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she knows everybody. Met him there. And then I met him on a set that I got access to film my extras on from Strictly Background. And he was in that movie. But great guy. And this is his wife. So,
nice.
You know, 6 degrees at play here. Of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. But I mean, what are the odds? Because we never met Amanda's parents before.
Never. We've just heard the kids are going to my parents' house. And they're still, we don't meet the father, but we have Amanda's mother, which is
great. If you're going to, you might as well have had Ed Begley Jr. as Amanda's dad then.
And
why
that
not?
Could still happen, right? That could still happen. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But then, Sal, if that wasn't enough, a blast from the past, because who arrives? And I didn't see this coming, Sal.
I did not see this coming. I think most of us forecasted Mike Barnes.
Nailed it.
You can go back, and some people might have even forecasted Chosen, maybe.
Well,
I don't think anybody... Okay, well, maybe. Nobody forecasted Jessica Andrews, played by Robin Lively from Karate Kid 3, is Amanda's cousin. What? What?
Who is also in real life Blake Lively's sister. And Blake Lively, of course, is married to Ryan Reynolds. So it's like entertainment royalty.
Wow. And hang on, Ryan Reynolds, who now owns Mint Mobile. So
and they're in commercials together, which is
Yes. There's a recent commercial with Ryan Reynolds and Robin Lively for Mint Mobile. It's crazy.
It's nuts. Well, here she is. Cousin Jessica arrives. So this is her Aunt Joanne. And it's like, oh my God, it's all in the family. And she arrives, Sal, with mac and cheese. And she's like, hey, where's Daniel? Because Daniel, let's not forget, gives mac and cheese 11 out of 10 stars from The Karate Kid Part 3. He loves some mac and cheese.
He does. And he doesn't even need some sliced up wieners. I like sliced up wieners in my mac and cheese.
You would.
Daniel doesn't even need that. And by the way, I just want to be clear, because sometimes I can be forgetful. Nobody ever thought for a second that Jessica Andrews is Amanda LaRusso's cousin, right? We didn't know this before.
I'm loving the liberties that the writing room is taking, because that's a smart play. Like, she's going to go to her mother's. Yeah, she could go somewhere nearby, Pasadena or Alhambra. Well, anywhere. She could have gone somewhere, or Westlake Village, or, you know, Calabasas. But no, they take her to Ohio, which we learn in a later scene. But think back to The Karate Kid Part 3. That's where Jessica was going. I got to go back to Ohio. I got a boyfriend there, because that movie just kind of falls on itself sometimes, but falls in on itself. But yeah, brilliant opportunity to connect the dots and bring her back. I'm just in awe. Like, are you kidding me? Is that her? It took me a second to even, like, process it.
Wait, it's taking me another second to process this, Jason, and that is that my father lives in Ohio.
Oh, my God. He could be on the show.
It just occurred to me this very moment.
Wait, your father could be Amanda's father.
Wow.
Whoa.
What if Amanda and I are brother and sister?
Yeah, I'm loving this. So now we're at Johnny's apartment, and Sal, he's been interneting, which I'm liking that, internet.
I like it.
And he's looking for a way for Robbie and Miguel to bond, because Olive Garden struck out. And so this is hilarious what he has done to his place. And please describe.
He's made his apartment, which, by the way, was recently made nice.
That's right.
Right? He recently made his apartment nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's made it into an escape room. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't know if you have any experience with escape rooms. I know about them. Never been to one.
I've never been to one.
Because what I've read about them, they sound horrific. I mean, you're literally locked into these places.
Yep.
Sometimes they like yell in your face and put you in a box. Like horrible stuff.
That's where you draw the line. Put them in a box.
No. I will not pay for this. I will not pay for this. So Johnny made his place an escape room. He wanted to replicate the Lincoln County War, 1878, in Lincoln County, New Mexico Territory. which turns out to be the plot for Young Guns 2, right?
Yeah, and Miguel recognizes it, and he's like, we saw this together. So he's been, you know, showing Miguel these older movies. And yeah, I saw this movie in the theater with my dad, actually. But funny,
wait,
yes.
Wait, you've seen both Young Guns 1 and 2?
Of course.
I'm sorry, Jason, I haven't seen either.
But while, yeah, you need to, and we may cover it on Let's Talk Movies, actually, and drag you in. But while this is going on, I need a little bit of karaoke from you. We hear Bon Jovi's Blaze of Glory, which is also in Young Guns 2.
The only part I know is, I'm going down in a blaze of glory. That's all I got.
That's all you needed. I like it. So hilarious. And then this scene ends with Rosa coming in as Billy the Kid.
That I love. That yeah. I love. She's such a good sport.
Yeah. And one
probably
thing
smoked
he did.
Out a little bit. Smoked out a little bit.
And she then comes in put like Emilio Estevez. But I like that Johnny, part of the escape room is he switched his door lock. So if you come, if you come inside the house and close the door, you can't get out. Like he's locked this place down. And the only key to get out of here, he puts in the garbage disposal, of course. So they're stuck in here. Of course, I think he breaks a window later. But anyway, great scene. But these guys are having none of it, Sal. They're just like, ugh, this guy.
Yeah, well, not to mention, they don't know about... I don't know if you'd call it an ace in the hole on Johnny's part, but neither Miguel nor Robbie know about the bun in the oven.
They do not know yet.
Yeah.
So now we're at Hermosa Beach, and Daniel and Chosen are on another stakeout. They do a lot of these stakeouts, right? You know, they're waiting for someone to show up, and we know who that is because we just talked about it. But Daniel's very depressed still. He's brought that just whole demeanor on this stakeout. And Chosen's trying to, you know, cheer him up a little bit, getting back to usual Daniel. And Chosen has some nice words to say. Very Mr. Miyagi-esque.
That's what I was just going to say. It just occurred to me, right before you mentioned that, is Chosen kind of almost adopting the Miyagi role in
a way
here?
He's channeling it a little bit. It's bringing Okinawa to the show.
Wow.
And I'm loving it, man.
I love the wisdom. So Chosen says, heart is most essential quality. Amanda-san knows your heart.
It's the first
very
time
sweet.
She's been referred to as Amanda-san, and I like that.
I like
that's
yeah.
really cute. And then Sal, who arrives in the Cobra Kai mobile?
Well, just to be clear, if I'm not mistaken, that car originated from LaRusso Auto, right?
Didn't sure it? Did. But it was a gift. It wasn't stolen.
Yes, yes. So yeah, here's Stingray showing up in the black and yellow a Cobra Kai car. By the way, they need to make a Hot Wheels of this.
They sure
I want a Hot Absolutely. Wheels of this car.
And it's kind of funny because he's also channeling Johnny playing the rock music. He rolls up playing Fozzie by Judas, which I didn't know the song, but it's a headbanging song, like heavy metal.
Wait, Judas Priest?
No, just by Judas.
Oh, I don't know Judas. Who's Judas?
I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, that's what he's singing. And he's singing it. It's like almost like the movie Christine. Once you own this car, you have to take on that persona. And nice. It's like he's got that persona. He's the perfect guy to take over the car from Johnny. And now Stingray, still singing the song, goes into his apartment. Now we see the apartment. It's sleek, modern. It's got all the bells and whistles. A big, oversized Cobra rug. Love it.
Wow.
Beautiful. And Sal, I also love that. Well, because they come up, obviously. Daniel and Chosen come in, they knock, and there's this exchange. And, you know, Daniel's questioning Stingray about how you live in this lifestyle now. What's going on here? And he's like, oh, yeah, my finances are between me and TurboTax, which I really got a kick out of that line, right? And I immediately thought back to when Kreese was doing the Koala Kai commercials for Intuit QuickBooks. Intuit also owns TurboTax. So a nice little
wait a second.
In there.
Intuit owns TurboTax also?
Both.
So it's in the family. Okay, cool.
It's in
I didn't
the
know
family.
That. Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
very,
a great exchange
nice.
Here.
And by the way, who else caught that reference?
Oh.
I don't think I would have even caught that reference because I didn't know that Intuit owned TurboTax.
There you go.
Very nice.
And then Stingray and Daniel, they're not themselves. Like I said earlier, Stingray is just not Raymond. You know, the guy doing the Caddyshack gopher and making funny jokes and like, hey man, you get this reference? Kind of like Chris Farley used to be on SNL, like get all excited. But he's not that guy. He's recovering and Daniel's not himself.
No.
And this leads to Daniel just getting a little heated. You know, short-tempered Daniel pushes Stingray, and what does he fall on and break?
Are we led to believe Daniel's a little bit inebriated here, at least at the tail end?
I think so. I think he's definitely
right, because didn't Chosen try to
up.
Give him some coffee,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But it's entirely possible this is an inebriated Daniel doing this.
Yeah.
And yeah, he breaks the PlayStation.
Yep.
And Chosen says, he's also no Stingray. He is Turtle. If pressed, he will retreat further into Shell. Yeah, because Daniel's thinking that he's going to like get
yeah.
the info
yeah,
out
yeah,
of him.
Give it to me. So yeah, this is when they go on the hallway, they retreat, and thank God Chosen's there again to bring reason to Daniel. This is not going good, and good wisdom by Chosen. He's just consistently this kind of a great anchor for Daniel and the show. He's really, and so is Johnny, though. There's a stabling force happening while we see Amanda and Daniel go off the rails a little bit.
Daniel needs, what, counsel right now? Right?
Yeah.
He needs friendship right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He needs that. Yeah, where would he be right now if not for Chosen?
And he's not wrong about his assessment of Silver, although it looks like he is wrong based at the charity auction that happened and what his wife is perceiving. He's not wrong, but he's just losing his wits about him and losing his magic. The LaRusso magic is suffering here.
You know, you can lose grasp on reality. Like, I was at one point... they're doing lots of commercial development
yeah,
in my area.
You're ready
area.
To throw down, take it to the
streets. I was going
to
go drive to the developer's office to throw down in the street. What the? What is that? And it took a woman
mm-hmm.
to say, Sal.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us, Sal. It happens to the best of us. So now we're in Ohio. We established this because we're at I call it a bar, but I'm going to call it a barcade. There's a lot of barcades now around where there's retro video games, so youngsters can be there, but there's also a bar and food. But here we are, Jessica, Amanda, Sam, and Anthony, and they've got the vintage tabletop games, and one in particular, Galaga. Sal,
I love, Galaga.
I love me some Galaga too, man.
I do. Can you, hang on, Jason, can you flip Galaga? Can you get to a million?
A million?
If when you get to a million on Galaga, the game starts over.
You get to a million?
Yeah. Now, by the way, just to be clear to our listeners,
yeah.
I can get to a million, or should I say I have gotten to a million, which flips the game and resets it.
Man,
you start
good.
Over again.
Yeah.
On a regular standing Galaga. The tabletop, I was never good at the tabletop.
It's different. So Jessica is playing it up. Showing the kids like, hey, these are vintage games. And they're like, oh, yeah, people are doing this now. It's like, no, this is the real game. This is not vintage. This is still here. And your mother had the high score back in the day, which is great to learn these little things about Amanda. Now we're knowing her backstory now. I love it. And then, Sal, if that wasn't enough to go out and hang out with her cousin and show the old stomping grounds, high school girlfriends are there. And it's like Mean Girls, Sal. This is like straight out of that movie. And we learn Amanda's maiden name, which is?
Steiner.
Steiner.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love where we're at right now.
I do too. I just want to hang out
here. I really
here.
Do. I like it.
And later, we learn her nickname from a well-documented violent outburst, but we'll save that for now.
Okay. Let's do that. Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm very excited to see what happens.
So Steiner, is that what they have? Like a beer Steiner?
Well, I think it's German, right?
Yeah.
Because it's from Bierstein.
Yeah.
Bierstein, I guess it's a German name. Sure, Steiner.
She loves Oktoberfest.
Steiner.
That Amanda Steiner. So now we're back at Johnny's apartment. And Daniel arrives. And Sal, he is unhinged. So he leaves Stingrays. And his plan is like, I got a guy that can help get this thing in motion. I'll go see Johnny. But he's not seeing Johnny from, like, last season or a few episodes ago. This is a more level-headed Johnny, more than we've ever seen, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. A baby on the way would change just about any person. Any level-headed person would be like, holy cow, a baby's on the way. Let me get my shit together, right?
That's
what an average person would think.
He's got Robbie in his life now and Miguel simultaneously and a new love in his life. So this is, like, uncharted territory. For Johnny, I would say.
Yeah, he's trying to do it right this time.
So Daniel wants his help, and it quickly realizes this is not the same Johnny. And Johnny can see this is not the usual Daniel. And he really just asked him, like, what's going on? And Danny just needed that, like you said earlier. He needs a friend. Chosen's great, but Chosen's kind of following his lead, and they're trying to go fix things with Silver in the Valley. But Johnny's a friend. He's a peer. And Daniel shares. And it's a touching scene.
Well, I like that we get to see Daniel. I think we've had moments where
vulnerable.
Johnny kind of displayed his vulnerability to Daniel, but I don't know if we've seen Daniel be vulnerable with Johnny before.
Not to this level. I mean, when they saw Allie a little, but this is a whole new level that we have never seen.
Yeah. So Daniel shares about Amanda and the kids leaving.
Well, very humbling to share that.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, your wife and kids left you is what you're saying.
Yeah, and he's having a banquet. Of course, Johnny's got a Coors banquet in the fridge.
What's funny is I think in this instance, a Coors banquet sobers you up.
Exactly. He's on the hard stuff. This is getting him out of it. Absolutely. So now we're back at the barcade, and Anthony plays Galaga. Love this. And he's frustrated, Sal, because he's also not very good at the tabletop version. And he goes on to say, which is hilarious.
Anthony says, damn it, the space lobsters have tractor beams. This game is bullshit. You get in the tractor beams to get a double ship.
Double ship.
And that's when you kick ass. You need a double ship. And by the way, if nobody ever trained Anthony on Galaga, he wouldn't know that. He would not know that if he's never played this before.
But you don't want to get in the tractor beams if you have your last man.
Oh, no. Do
game
not
over.
Do
Sal, I've learned that having that double ship, it just takes up too much real estate. So unless it's like a bonus round where you can really just go to town, I don't like having that extra ship.
Hang on, Jason. You're telling me that you can get a perfect on the challenge stage?
No.
You can't get perfect. You need those double ships
for
the challenge
stage. You do, but
the
double ships only going to last so long because once you get to the next phase, you're going to lose them. So I tend to save my men. But hey, we have different strategies. And you're
you
the
don't
guy,
do double ship on Galaga?
I used to. I've changed. Wow. But I'm not getting a million, so maybe I need to adopt your style. So then we see Sam, because she's sitting there on the I love the tabletop, because this the way just lets you kind of sit at a table, and she's on her phone, and she spots Anthony getting bullied. And Sal, this Instagram post already has 44,600 views, so it's gone valley viral, as she says, and it's posted by Hyper_Piper42. And does that ring a bell at all?
Well, Piper does, but Hyper Piper 42?
Well, that's her. This is Piper, who we've not seen this season. Remember Moon's ex-girlfriend, then in season 4 got into Cobra Kai? She fought in All Valley, but we've not even talked about Piper. But she's doing an Instagram post.
I have not heard that name in a while.
No, we have not even thought about her, talked about her. But this was her, so call back. They're pulling an Aisha. The show, for whatever reason, hasn't brought her back yet. But hopefully this is a way to bring her back in the fold. Anyway.
Wait, hang on, Jason. What's Dimitri's girlfriend's name?
Yasmin.
Yeah. There we go.
Now,
that's
Piper was like the best athlete at the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got it now. And by the way, we didn't know that Anthony being kicked into the lazy river, we didn't know that was on video.
No,
right?
This is new. Oh, boy. Well, I'm also shocked that Sam can even spot him. He's got the rings on him already. She's like, is this you? I was right there.
I would have denied it. I'll be like, nope, not me.
No, that's not the guy. I saw him. But now we're at the bar. I mean, literally, we just cut over because Amanda and Jessica are talking, and this is good stuff, Sal. Oh my gosh. Amanda mentions Daniel's enemies, how there's always another one around the corner. It's like a twisted game of whack-a-mole. Now, Sal, I know you remember the game whack-a-mole, right?
I like a good whack-a-mole game. I do. I like it a lot.
Well, I know the inventor of whack-a-mole.
What? The person that invented the game?
Invented whack-a-mole.
Wow.
Inventor Aaron Fechter, who we followed, and he's part of, I guess we didn't follow, but he's definitely a big part of our documentary, The Rockafire Explosion, which tells the rise and fall of Showbiz Pizza, how it was bought out by Chuck E. Cheese. Well, Aaron Fechter started Rockafire Explosion, started the animatronic rock band, and prior to that, invented whack-a-mole. Shout out to you, Aaron Fechter. Great guy and an amazing inventor.
Wait, hang on, Jason. So you're saying that the person that invented Chuck E. Cheese invented whack-a-mole?
No, not Chuck E. Cheese, Showbiz Pizza. He invented, to be clear, the animatronic Rock Band, Rockfire Explosion, which was incredible. Check out the doc. It's great. And anyway, just a shout out there to Aaron, because I love the reference. And Sal, Amanda then mentions Terry Silver, which puts things in motion. And we learn that, well, of course, we already know. Jessica knows very well of one Terry Silver. But we also learn what, Sal?
Jason, one thing I got to say, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Mike Barnes kind of apologized to Daniel LaRusso in the furniture store, right? Doesn't Mike Barnes owe an apology to Jessica?
Yeah, for kicking her in the stomach, but he's not seeing her because he's not in Ohio.
Yes, that's true. He does. He should send her an email then in that case.
Facebook.
Send her a Facebook message. Yeah, Jessica put Amanda in touch with Daniel when Amanda left Ohio to go to Los Angeles. Now, we don't know why Amanda went to Los Angeles specifically, right?
Hollywood, man.
Yeah, it could have been anything, yeah. But she put them in touch.
Which is shocking to me to know that means that Daniel stayed in touch with Jessica, but he did not stay in touch with Ali or Kumiko.
Interesting.
Now, Jessica wasn't a love interest.
Not a love interest.
So maybe it was like, oh, hey, here's that platonic friend that just disappears from the Karate Kid 3 at the big tournament. But hey, I'll just call her up. And, oh, you got a cousin that you want me to meet? Okay. And then the rest is history. But now we know the story. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I like this scene, Sal, because they are showing this old footage, Karate Kid Part 3. It's like, oh my God, there's Jessica right there. And yeah, we know Terry Silver's a bad guy. But it's great to see them back in the day. It's just like, oh my gosh, everyone looks so young. And also, this is starting to get through to Amanda like, wait a second. Daniel's not so far-fetched, so crazy. Terry Silver is a bad guy. And this is news to her because last time she saw Terry Silver, Daniel looked like the big bad guy that was pushing him down. Bonsais are flying. Mm-hmm. So Jessica, thank goodness Jessica has this intel, which is very important.
And there is a fantastic two-shot of Jessica with Miyagi.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
In front of Miyagi's...
Little trees.
Little trees, yes. There's a great two-shot. My gosh, I would imagine if I were Robin Lively, I would treasure that two-shot right there.
It's great. And I used to live by Miyagi's Little Trees. We've talked about this before on that episode. When we broke the movie down, which is great, seeing my same breakdown.
We did cover the entire film, yes.
But anyway, I used to live, I don't know, a mile and a half from Miyagi's Little Trees. Now, it was long gone. It's in Highland Park. I lived adjacent to Highland Park. That area has really changed. But it's funny, that house, well, whatever that is, that establishment right by the tracks, is also very, very close. This is movie insider here for you guys. Anybody listening, movie fan. The house from Caddyshack, Danny Noonan's house. They show him because he was like a Catholic family. He had all these brothers and sisters, very beginning scenes of Caddyshack. His house is there. They shot most of that movie in Florida, but that scene was also right there. I would drive by and like, there's Noonan's house. So Noonan's house, Miyagi's Little Trees, all happening over there. Also, scenes from Reservoir Dogs right around the corner as well.
Wow.
So Highland Park, this is in the 90s. Of course, Caddyshack was filmed in the 80s or 79, 80. So that whole scene, is, you know the area, it's changed so much, Highland Park. But you go back and see these movies in the 80s or 90s, like it looked very different, but it was the backdrop for a lot of movies back then.
Yes, a lot of things have changed in Los Angeles.
Absolutely. So now we're back at Johnny's apartment, and Daniel, this is pretty funny. He's explaining, you know, what he's done. Like, have you talked to Amanda? Because they're having this discussion. And he is, Sal, we found out he has sent some bourbon-soaked messages, which he's not heard back from Amanda.
Yeah, he's texting incessantly. If it's your wife, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
If they were merely dating,
no, not good.
You'd be like, stalker.
Have you ever sent some bourbon-soaked messages in your day, Sal?
No, I learned my lessons because by the time we got to texting, I learned my lessons from previous years of just calling.
Yeah. Ring.
Yeah, no. So no, by the time we got to texting, I had worked that out of my system.
Okay, good. Good for you and good for the ladies. So Johnny gives some sound advice, which I'm loving this Johnny, you know, the nurturing Johnny. But Sal.
You know who this is? You know who this is?
Oh, please.
Dad Johnny.
Dad Johnny.
Wow.
Dad Johnny showed up. But Sal, Daniel then references, because he looks across the room, you know, and he's like seeing the remnants of this escape room.
I like that. That saloon door.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And we learn that Johnny found this out online, but not the usual way. Not by Googling, but by...
goggles.
He goggled it when he was interneting.
Yeah.
And he goggled conflict resolution. So he put this plan together. I love how this show works. So he doesn't even tell Daniel everything. It's just like, I'm just trying to put them, you know, Miguel and Robbie back together. Crash and burn. He doesn't even tell the whole story about escape room and this, that, and the other. But it's pretty funny. And then Daniel mentions that he has really grown fond of Johnny Classic. Mm. Not Johnny, Dad Johnny.
Yeah.
But Johnny Classic.
Well, because Daniel went to the Reseda Apartments looking for Johnny Classic.
Johnny Classic. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go kick some ass.
But then they get into this discussion, which I love, and I think it's a talking point for later as well. But go ahead, shed some light on this, because this is brilliant stuff.
Which part are you talking about?
Back in the day,
yes,
things may have been resolved had they... taking it to the streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and not down the 3 points.
Yeah, if they would have just actually just like had a street fight.
Yeah.
Instead of doing it within the boundaries of the All Valley and the rules and the points and the refs, right? Just taking it to the streets. I won't say I'm a fan of taking it to the streets, but, you know, I think sometimes the streets can be sort of the ultimate justifier or the ultimate common ground, equal ground, theoretically.
Yeah. Well, they took it to the beach, and Daniel lost that fight.
That was early on.
Early on. So I like
You know
both
what?
Sizes.
Hell, if they ever did actually have an actual fight again, well, another actual fight
again. Well, they had one at the Halloween dance, but that was far outnumbered.
Well, no, didn't they fight at Miyagi-Do once, right? In last season, was
it? Oh, I'm talking Karate Kid.
Oh, no, I'm talking about over the years, like actually fight on the beach. That would be cool.
Well, they tried to fight in the ring and to 3 points, and they both knocked each other out, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just thinking, let's go back in the Karate Kid for just 1 second, just a moment. And I thought, yeah, that's a good point, because Johnny even says, yeah, you only had 3 points in you, which is true. Daniel couldn't have got another moment in that fight. You know, Johnny took one to the head. He could have got up and kept fighting, so that wouldn't have worked. But to Daniel's defense, and we've well documented this in The Karate Kid and also the episode where we broke down Daniel's run through All Valley in 84. Yeah. Great episode. I highly recommend you guys checking that out. Yep. But he fought like 6 Cobra Kais to get to Johnny.
Yes.
Right? So he overcame so much. I put him as equals, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did, right? We wouldn't have Karate Kid had they settled it before All Valley. But the idea is there. It's percolating. It comes into play later. Hold that. But Daniel thanks Johnny for the Coors Banquet. And for the perspective, which he needed, because he was rallying the troops, man. You know, guns a-blazing, let's go. And it was really what he needed.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to take Johnny.
Exactly.
Guns a-blazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Young gun style. Mm. Yeah. So now we're back at the barcade, and Samantha and Anthony talk mainly about this whole bullying thing. Like, what's going on here? You're showing up in a viral video, a Valley viral video. What is this? And Anthony shares how Robbie had stepped in to stop the bullying at the water park. What was the name of the water park again? Remember?
Splash-O-Rama Water Adventure.
Yes, indeed. So it's kind of nice to see, again, I've talked about this before, they are talking more. Siblings getting along. They're not even busting balls here. They're actually like, what's going on? Tell me more. I want to help. I like this a lot. This is really good.
They're bonding.
They're bonding. Now we're back at the bar, just cut over, and Sal, we learn Amanda's old nickname because this Mean Girls crew that went and sat down, like 5 girls from high school, have their vendettas and such, and what is the nickname they bestowed upon her?
They called her Babe Ruthless.
Not a bad nickname to have.
I wouldn't mind a name like that.
Yeah, you're a babe, and you're ruthless. No one probably messed with Amanda in high school.
I bet. And by the way, I think it's funny. I mean, you even mentioned the word girls. These are women. These are full-grown women
at this bar.
They're probably there like a couple times a month at least. They've been going there. Amanda left. She went to Los Angeles. Hell, even Jessica probably doesn't hang out here. Yet these girls.
Yeah, it's trivia night.
Yeah, they've been there like a couple times a month, you know, from the beginning.
Good point. But someone comes over, the leader of this pack, Elizabeth Rooney, we learn her name, and she gives Amanda a new nickname in the moment, which is
Miss Coastal Elite.
Yet another cool nickname.
I wouldn't mind being known as a Coastal
Elite. There's worse
elite.
Nicknames, so.
Yeah, it implies you got some cash, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody poor is being called Coastal Elite.
Yeah, exactly. So things escalate, and a bar fight ensues, Sal. I mean, I didn't see this coming, but I wouldn't say it's your usual bar fight. This is mainly like pushing and some holding, and there's not a punch thrown yet. There actually never is a punch thrown, technically. But out of nowhere, what happens?
I was loving this big time. I wanted this to last. I really wanted this scene to last. Sam flies in.
Literally.
Kicks Elizabeth Rooney. Right? Kicks her out of the way. And then they all just head out and run off.
Yeah, because no one else is there for fighting. Rooney's about to maybe hit Amanda because basically there's so many of them. They're holding, and some are holding their legs in place. And here comes Rooney because she got pushed. And she's going to maybe throw a punch. And Sam comes in, one hit, and they skedaddle. Amanda, Sam, Anthony, Jessica flee out the door.
Wouldn't it have been conceivable that Sam could have like literally kicked everyone's ass?
Oh, all those ladies, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, all those ladies. She could have just kicked all their asses. I would have liked to have seen that at least. I feel like this scene, I wanted this scene to last a little bit longer.
More violence.
I wanted a little more bloodshed.
Well, Amanda and Jessica were in awe of Samantha, as was Anthony, but we'll get into that shortly. So now we're at LaRusso's house, and Chosen is packing. Sal, because he's heading home.
Yeah.
Sad. Don't want to see this.
I just want to comment, Jason, real quick. We've never addressed this. Chosen's fashion.
Yeah, it's kind of like
he's got sort of
Hawaiian
a late
shirts.
80s. Yeah. It's like, I would call it a late 80s.
Tommy
like
Bahama.
Rayon shirts.
Yeah.
And you see the belt? You get a lot of his belt.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call that? Sort of like a woven leather.
Yeah, classic.
He's got that look, man. That was me in the early 90s going to clubs.
He's probably got a members-only jacket somewhere, right?
And if he wore jeans, he might even like tie them around the ankle and roll them up.
Oh, yeah, roll the old roll.
He might do that if he wore jeans, but Chosen does not wear jeans.
Black Reebok high tops, some of those. Yes.
He is. He's still a little totally 80s. He's a little Johnny Lawrence, but in the fashion, I think.
Yeah, a different way. So Daniel is basically surrendering to Silver, and he's got to go check on Stingray because he won't sleep through the night, can't live with himself for what he did. But Chosen pack, I'll come get you. We'll go to LAX. Well, they don't say LAX, but that's where they're going to be headed most likely. Unless he's flying out of Bob Hope or Burbank Airport. But that's what's happening. So it's kind of sad to see. And Chosen's not even fighting. He's packing up. And it's like, maybe the family and I, if the family comes back, we'll come visit you in Okinawa. So it's like, oh man, I'm a little, it's bittersweet here to see Daniel turn a corner, but we're losing Chosen, which I don't like.
No.
So now we're at Reseda Apartments, and we hear a air horn. And Johnny blows this air horn to alert Miguel and Robbie and random neighbor who comes out. And because, Sal, Johnny took Daniel's idea, and he's run with it. And that is what?
Well, the idea is just go ahead and fight it out, right? If you fight it out, maybe you'll get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea?
Yep.
In other words, so Daniel and Johnny fought in the All Valley, didn't get it out of their system. Robbie and Miguel also fought in the All Valley, did they?
Well, hang on. Yeah, they did. But they did get it out of their system in The Karate Kid because Johnny comes over and gives Lawrence the trophy. And,
You're right, LaRusso.
So they did get out of their way, but then over time, Cobra Kai brought it back, and then they were on opposite sides. So over time, it took time to the divide to grow again. But yes, these two have never been on the same side. Miguel and Robbie, just one's in Cobra Kai, one's in Miyagi-Do, then it flips, then one's in Eagle Fang.
And then
they're always on other sides.
Throw Sam in the mix.
Well, that's a big part of it. It's the alley factor. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the plan is to fight it out. And they're just like, what? But Johnny's not having it. He barks at them, and he puts it in motion.
Also, an interesting choice because it's not like you're at a park with grass or sand.
Yeah.
It's nothing but concrete there. It's nothing but stucco and concrete and metal.
Street fighting.
They're not exactly like a safe place to fight.
Yeah. Well, karma's not around, so now's the time. Mm-hmm. And it's an evenly matched fight. And they have both grown so much as fighters. It's obvious. It's amazing to watch. And they're going back and forth. And then it spills into the stairway. When Johnny's like, okay, wait, stairway's off limits. Like, that's starting to get out of control, right? This is his creation, but now he's losing control of it. And then it escalates to the second floor. And then flashbacks begin to happen.
Yep.
Because there's a balcony, and Miguel's thinking, you know, we're seeing footage from Cobra Kai season one. Miguel's back injury goes over the banister because Robbie kicked him. And Sal, what happens is this thing starts to get sideways.
Well, we're thinking it's going to be a replay, but in reverse.
Exactly.
Right? We're assuming that Miguel is going to kick Robbie off the second floor.
Payback. And, you
know, once you get into, you know, a few feet Heights. Off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's getting into deadly stuff. So, no, fortunately, Miguel stops, mm-hmm. right? And there's becomes a peace between Robbie and Miguel. An understanding? Is that what happens?
Yeah, they both just kind of ran out of gas. Johnny was right. They kind of had to work through this on their own, and it just so happened it was this way. I mean, maybe the same would have happened had the roles been reversed, and Robbie's like, I don't want to repeat history, but it was good to see it in this way because it's like tit for tat. They're both very equal fighters, and it's nice it came to this resolution. But they stop, and they make peace. And they have this dialogue exchange. And
wait, hang on, Jason. Since you mentioned, I mean, does this not kind of show that Miguel is a better fighter? Isn't that what this implies?
I think if they fight 10 times, it's 5-5.
Okay, there we go. Yes.
That's what I think.
Okay, I'll go for it.
They have this exchange, and you play Robbie, I'll play Miguel here. Because it's pretty important. This is them coming together, forming a union, a bond that they've never had.
Yeah, it's coming to a... I guess they're both kind of waving the white flag here and saying, let's move on with our life. Robbie says, why'd you hold back?
And Miguel says, I didn't get into karate to hurt people. I did it to be badass and find balance.
Yeah, I understand that.
Last time we fought like this, how come you didn't hold back?
I just wanted to finish the fight. I mean, not like that. I had tunnel vision and I got so angry that I barely knew where we were. I'd take it back in a second if I could. I mean, I was the cause of the worst moment in your life, and if it's any consolation, it was the worst moment in my life, too.
I'll take it.
Ah, very special moment, and I'm sad that it had to require such a fight to get to this moment, but it did. It happened, and here we are. So I think now we finally see Miguel and Robbie giving the olive branch to one another.
Yeah, it was very powerful. That's why I wanted to replay it here. Because you see it, they both changed in this moment.
Robbie, I did have sort of a little bit of...
Oh, I know.
A little bit of something in my eye.
Yeah, because we've given Miguel a lot of props, his acting. Robbie was fantastic in this, and you could see it. He was earnest, he meant it, and it was the worst moment in his life, and he has his own demons. And it was really wonderful because it always gets lost in translation. They never really communicate this, but they feel this way. And here it is right now. They both share. And Johnny's there to watch, which is great to see off camera, watching them. And he's so excited to see this finally happen that he accidentally shares what?
Yeah, he kind of lets the cat out of the bag and he mentions the baby, the upcoming baby. But then I was surprised. I don't know if I was so surprised that Miguel was excited, but Robbie seemed actually pleased and excited too. Because you know what? I kind of feel, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, Jason, but I kind of always wanted a younger brother.
I did too.
You know, I kind of always wanted a younger brother. I did. And so maybe in this moment, right, each of them is thinking of the possibility. Now, they may be both in for a surprise.
Twin girls.
Yeah, exactly. But they're maybe thinking, hey, this is maybe the brother I never had, you know? So, yeah, they're both happy about this. And
neither one have sisters, so they could have a sister.
They could. How about the sibling and I never had? How about that? Will. Yeah, there you go.
But they do. Robbie loves it. He's like, this is awesome. And Miguel's super excited. And they do a big family hug. It's great. It's a big, happy family, Sal. Not too cheesy either. It's just right. It's just the right touch.
Yeah, realistic. Tone.
Very realistic. So now we're at the Steiner house, and Sam and Anthony recap the fight.
Yeah, this is where they're all eating White Castle.
White Castle.
I liked seeing that.
Harold and Kumar style.
Yep.
And Anthony gives Sam an awesome nickname after seeing her fight at the bar, which
yeah,
was?
That was great. Jean-Claude Van Sam.
It's so good. It just say it again. It's so good.
Jean-Claude Van Sam.
I love it. I thought that was so clever. Well
That's
done, writers.
Yeah. Good job, Anthony.
Yeah, very and good job, Anthony. Yeah. But Anthony, we learn, hates chores, but he's learning to be more interested in karate. Because he thinks chores come with it, you know, the Miyagi theory, as yeah. Daniel tried to have him wax on, wax off, and he hires the task rabbit.
Sure.
But it's kind of nice to see he's turning a corner. And also, Sam is not just anti-karate either. She just needed a moment, process some things, figure some things out. Mm-hmm. And much like every sequence with these four people, for the most part, they're in two groups. Sam and Anthony have their discussion, and now Amanda and Jessica are talking over here. Mm-hmm. Because they're talking about Daniel, and they don't want to talk in front of the kids.
Sure.
But Jessica shares that Daniel's justified in his feelings and hatred and revenge for Silver.
Yeah. So there's all this backstory back with Jessica, you know, going back to Karate Kid 3. Amanda did not know about this.
No. None. Nothing.
Yeah. And she says, right? Didn't she say, why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah, it's water under the bridge. It's so there, long yeah, it's ago. Past, why yeah. would it be something? It's like, hey, back
oh,
in
the day. Oh, she never thought Terry Silver would come back. That's
and then here
was.
He is. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Nobody forecasted this.
But Amanda understands. She's understanding what Jessica's sharing with her. And she's kind of ready to get home. You can kind of tell. Like, she's pivoted and had her break and got the intel that she needed. And now we're at Diaz's apartment. I thought we were at Johnny's for a second, but we soon find out it's Diaz's apartment. And Johnny, Miguel, and Robbie are literally breaking bread. From?
Olive Garden.
Those great breadsticks.
I want some breadsticks now. I want some. So I'm in North Hollywood. Not too far is Burbank, and there is indeed an Olive Garden. Is there an Olive Garden near you now in Rhode Island?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You need but to look
Sal,
into this.
I think a marathon's in your future. Our half.
Oh, what?
If you're going to start going to that Olive Garden, you got to
start definitely. Yeah, exactly.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah. I need to run a marathon.
So now Carmen arrives, and she loves seeing them all get along. I mean, who wouldn't, right? And she's like, Robbie, you're welcome here anytime. Everyone's on their best behavior, and I like it. After what we've been through, what they have been through, I need this peace for right now. But Sal, she's not sure about the bruises on their faces.
Johnny lets her know that it wasn't him, that they did it to each other. I mean, it's better that they did it to each other than Johnny did it to him, of course.
Yeah, but it was supervised.
Yeah, it was a supervised. I guess it was sort of like Johnny was the ref. I guess Johnny was the ref of that fight.
So now we're at Stingray's apartment because Daniel is going over there to make amends, has a brand new PlayStation to give Stingray. But Sal, there's no Stingray. There's someone else here. And who is it?
No. And Daniel had good intentions. He's very good. His heart was in the right place. He wanted to make amends.
Yep.
He realized he screwed up. He was too aggressive earlier. Come back and apologize. Deliver a brand new PlayStation, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's going to go great. At least the worst that's going to happen is Silver will say, I don't want it. And then Daniel's on his way. Yeah. Stingray. Yeah. That's the worst that'll happen. Yeah. But no, we don't even see Stingray at all.
Nope.
There's no Stingray whatsoever. Instead, Terry Silver is there.
Mm.
And yeah, you ask, how did he know that Daniel would arrive?
He's got people working all over town. He's got, who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know
he's got minions. He does.
He knows that. But remember, he is there.
Remember, though, if Terry Silver is able to have somebody burn a furniture store down, surely he's able to have just people spying on people.
Exactly. Yeah, and he kind of is calculated. He knows people's moves. He's playing chess. Yeah. So he probably just assumes it's a matter of time. But Daniel sees Silver. And he basically is surrendering. It's yours. The valley's yours. I want out of this thing. And Silver's kind of, he takes a moment, but he's like, your mind is so small. He doesn't want the valley. He's got much bigger plans, and we know most of them. So he doesn't accept this. The Surrender by Daniel LaRusso. And then Silver starts to needle Daniel. You know, he knows how to get Daniel going. He mentions Amanda and then Sal, the kicker. And you know it's going to come to fisticuffs in a second. In the future, Daniel's own kids will be wrapped in Cobra Kai geese. And that's it. He's unhinged again.
Well, you mention a man's wife, you mention a man's kids.
It's only so much he can take.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a showdown occurs. And it's a great fight.
It is a great fight. But you really see how much larger Terry Silver is.
Oh, he's huge. Yes.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And not just a great fight's happening. The score, the music is awesome in this scene. It's like a movie. It's wonderful. And then out of nowhere, after a couple hits to the wall when Silver moves, what happens to Daniel's knuckles?
Oh, boy. I noticed the bloody knuckles even before we had the flashback to the bloody knuckles.
Yeah.
But yeah, the infamous bloody knuckles of Karate Kid 3, where Kreese says to Terry Silver, make his knuckles bleed.
Yep.
Right? When Kreese was getting his massage in, where was he?
Tahiti.
Tahiti. There we go. Yeah.
So we see the bloody knuckles. Daniel sees his bloody knuckles. Right. Flashbacks to Cobra Kai. I'm sorry. Flashbacks to the Karate Kid. Yes, Cobra Kai at the dojo, because he is now Cobra Kai and he's hitting that wooden dummy that Tori was hitting the modern version. But Daniel was beating that thing up with the Mike Barnes, photo on it, the bad boy of karate. So all that's going through his mind. And Silver gets the best of him, gets him in an arm lock. I thought he broke his arm. I really did. This fight went back and forth until Silver got the upper hand and then does like a front kick to the head, knocking Daniel down. Not out, but down and incapacitated.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought for a second, how dark is this going? Because now Daniel can't protect himself.
And there's no one to stop Terry.
No one's there to stop
him. I kind of was thinking maybe someone's going to jump out and...
Stingray?
Or somebody, Chosen. Somebody's going to save Daniel.
Yeah.
Somebody has to save Daniel, but no. Nobody was there to save Daniel. And luckily, Terry could have went all the way with this.
But he says this is not an act of mercy. He wants him alive, not well, to see what happens next. This guy is so sinister. I mean, way above Kreese.
Yeah. Do you think maybe Daniel was too emotional in this fight, right?
I mean, this is just like Robbie and Miguel. I think if they fought, now I don't know how even it is. If they fought 10 times, maybe it's 7-3, 6-4 Silver. I think Daniel could get the best of him. He knows some moves from Miyagi-Do. He knows the paralysis moves. But yeah, and he also wasn't looking for a fight.
He did not go there prepared to fight at all.
He's had a tough day. He's been off, drinking. He's a mess. And here he is in a fight almost to the death. So I just think he wasn't truly prepared. So I'm not underestimating Silver. I'm saying, hey, we've seen Silver best Johnny. But I think that he could lose. He can be bested.
Up to this moment, we've never seen Silver beaten by Daniel ever, right?
No, just Miyagi. Bested Silver.
Yes, only me.
And Barnes. And Kreese.
Yes.
So now we see Tori, and she's speaking to someone, and a montage ensues. And I'll give the beats of the montage, and then you can take Tori's speech, which is also like a voiceover for this montage. And we see Robbie fixing Johnny's door that was done in reverse, locking everybody in. And Silver training at the dojo, like in a tank top, hitting that same padded wooden dummy. We see Daniel injured in a bed, struggling to drink water. And Amanda takes the water glass and is clearly upset. Obviously, here's her husband, who's a mess. And we see Sam letting Johnny in the front door at the LaRusso house. And there is Amanda and Chosen, and they're waiting for Johnny. And then we see Johnny and Chosen, and they're ready, Sal. I love that shot of them.
And Tori says, and by the way, we don't know who Tori's talking to.
We just know yet.
We see her and we hear her talking. We know she's talking to someone. Tori says, everything was supposed to be better off after the tournament, but it's only getting worse. I'm becoming someone I don't want to be. I'm hiding the truth from someone I care about. I'm lying to someone I fear. And I'm delivering anonymous notes that could put people in danger. There must be another way. Or at least somebody else out there who wants to be in this fight. Just tell me there's an endgame to this. I need to know it's not all for nothing. And the reveal of who we see. She is in jail talking to Kreese in the visitor's area.
My gosh.
And Kreese responds to that, "There is an endgame, kid. Silver's going down. Only he doesn't know it yet." Oh, I can't believe I'm saying that it was good to see Kreese. I can't believe I'm saying that it was good to see Kreese.
I know. Silver makes us crave some Kreese, doesn't he?
That's how bad Silver is that we need Kreese.
I knew at some point in time that she was talking to Kreese. I'm sure a lot of people figured it out. Because it's like, who is she talking to and
who
sharing
could she
all
be
this information? And then it looks like kind of a jail. Well, not a jail cell, but where they go have people meet. He is in prison, so it's like a scene from a movie. Yeah, I figured it out, but it's still great to see. Tori is Kreese's pawn. She's the one that put the newspaper clipping in the mail and putting some things in motion. Wow. So back to how did Silver know Daniel was coming to Stingrays? Maybe Kreese pushed that in motion too somehow. Who knows? We don't know off camera. Some sort of tip of the cap, anonymous call. We'll never know, but Kreese is back, baby. He's in jail, but he's back.
Well, I think we've all learned recently after especially people like El Chapo, you can still call shots from jail.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just because you're behind bars doesn't mean you can't still make some things happen out there.
That's true. Well, that's it, Sal. An exciting episode. Wow. Truly extreme measures, this episode.
And an 8.7, well-deserved.
Absolutely.
Well-deserved.
That's all I got. That's the halfway mark. We'll come back. 6 through 10, the home stretch as we wrap up season 5 of Cobra Kai.
Oh, very exciting. Very exciting to be here.
So unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Cobra Kai at manscaped.com.
So thank you so much for listening. And please be sure to subscribe to the Let's Talk Cobra Kai podcast as well as the Let's Talk Cobra Kai YouTube live channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any Let's Talk Cobra Kai social media platform.
If you're a dedicated listener or viewer of Let's Talk Cobra Kai, please consider supporting the show on Patreon. We also highly recommend checking out our other podcast and visiting Just Curious Media. .com.
No mercy.